and teens and Roz for doing that is much appreciated. Before we get started, thinking about Thanksgiving being this Thursday, I just wanted to see if there was anyone here in the crowd tonight who wanted just to stand up for a second and tell something that they're thankful for. Anybody? And if you're hesitant, that's something good to be thankful for. I'll go ahead and go first. Well, second now. Good job, Roz. The other day I read something, and it was talking about things for us to be thankful for, but then also it mentioned that we should be thankful for the things that God has protected us from or kept us from that didn't come into our lives that we don't even really think about. And not too long ago, I left my house and I was driving and there was an accident. And I realized that if I had left my house maybe 5 minutes earlier, that could have been myself. And there's so many different things in our lives that we don't even know about that God keeps us from. So many different things in our life going to and fro and whatever that we avoid that God keeps us from. He keeps us protected. He keeps us under that hedge. And that's something that I'm personally thankful for is all the stuff that God has allowed not to come into my life. So is there anyone here tonight that would like to stand up and just say something they're thankful for? Go ahead. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. That's exciting. Shane? Your little brother? Aiden? Yeah, Aiden's something to be thankful for. Anyone else? Go ahead. That's good. For sure. For sure. Yeah, COVID has been a really tough time this last year and a half for a lot of people, so.
I am thankful for my job that I was really frustrated last year doing my teaching virtually and didn't like it. So I just want to retire and quit doing this. I tried to do it this way. I can't teach this way.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's good. I'm glad that things are getting back to normal for you. Anyone else? Go ahead, Evan.
I'm truly thankful for the gift of salvation.
Absolutely.
So many times I find myself stopping and reflecting and just totally mind-boggled that he died on the cross for me.
Mm-hmm. For sure. That's awesome. Luke?
I'm thankful for you for buying my ticket to
the line. Yeah, okay. All right, let's move on. Go ahead and turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Thank you for all of those, I guess you would call them, what's the word I'm looking for? Testimonies, there we go. Thank you for those testimonies. We all have stuff in our life that we can be thankful for, and of course, around the time of Thanksgiving is a time where we kind of reflect on that stuff, but Thanksgiving just shouldn't be a time where we tell God thank you. We should be thankful 365 days out of the year. So tonight, we're going to talk out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll start in verse 4. For we know that in this tabernacle, For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that morality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And let's focus in here on verse 7. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Whenever I was studying that verse, it kind of stood out to me because it's kind of counterproductive to how we live our everyday lives. Walking by faith and not by sight. If I'm going to walk around this platform, I'm going to want to keep my eyes open. If I'm going to go play in the gym, I'm going to want to keep my eyes open. Whenever I'm walking down the street or wherever I'm at, I walk with my eyes open. I don't close them. And the Bible says that God wants us to walk by faith and not by sight. So what we're going to talk about tonight is walking by faith. We're going to hone in on three different people in the scriptures that had to walk by faith in their life. And then at the end, we're going to focus in on three different things that we have to do in order to walk by faith. So for the first one, let's go over to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. I'm almost there. Genesis 22, and once you get over there, we'll just start in verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." So the first person that we're going to focus in on here is Abraham. Abraham had to walk by faith in this situation. God told him, hey, I want you to take your son Isaac, and I want you to go offer him upon an altar. I want you to kill him. And Abraham, I'm sure, was confused. I'm sure that Abraham didn't really understand the whole gist of it. And Abraham had to walk by faith into that situation. We won't read the entire chapter, but we know that Abraham gives in to God's will. He takes Isaac, and he's about to offer him. And we know that God steps in, and we'll read that part in a second. But in our life sometimes, God's going to ask us to do things, or he's going to lead us in a direction, and he's going to want us to walk by faith. He's going to want us to step out into the unknown and say, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen in this situation, but I'm just going to trust you. I don't know where you're going to take me. I don't know where you're going to lead me, but I'm going to follow you in this direction. And God talked to Abraham, and he said, hey, I want you to offer your son Isaac. We know that God didn't want to kill Isaac because he had promised him, but he wanted to see, how far are you willing to follow me? How far are you willing to go whenever I tell you to go somewhere? And sometimes in our life, that's what God's looking to see. How faithful are you going to be to me? How much can I trust you? How much can I entrust you with in your life? And sometimes God will allow these things to come into our lives just to see how strong of a Christian we are, just to see, well, how tough is your faith? Are you walking your life in your life by faith, or are we walking by sight? And sometimes God will, like I said, allow those things to come into our lives to kind of test us and to see how much faith are we exemplifying. Go to the end of the chapter, verses 9 through 13 of chapter 22. It says, "And they came to the place which God had told them of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son." So he was about to kill him. "And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." So he wanted to see, are you going to follow me in this direction? Are you going to follow where I lead you? And Abraham was willing to step up to that task. He was willing to take that challenge from God. And he knew that no matter what happened in that situation, that God was going to provide. He knew that no matter what was going to happen, God was going to take care of everything. And we know that God provided a ram for him to ultimately sacrifice. And Abraham's faith was so strong that he knew that no matter what situation I'm in, God's going to take care of me. And that's something that each and every one of us should strive to have in our lives. We should trust God so much that no matter what situation we're in our lives, we know he's there. That no matter where we go, we know that he's going to take care of us. That if he tells us to go do something, we say, Lord, that's crazy. There's no way I can do that. That we know that he has our best outcome in mind. And that's how much we should trust God. That's the type of faith that we should be striving to have. The second person that we're going to look at here is Noah. Go over to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, and once you get over there, we'll start in verse 13. Genesis 6:13. "And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee, and of everything, and of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou keep, bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee, to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So reading that passage of scripture right there is kind of confusing, beginning off with the directions of you need to put this on it, you need to make it this tall, and all this stuff. I'm sure that Noah was a little bit confused, saying, okay, Lord, you're going to destroy all of mankind. You want me to build this huge boat. You're going to flood the entire earth. And you want me to go build this boat and then tell everyone about it. Well, did anyone listen to Noah? No, they didn't care. They thought he was crazy. Noah worked on this ark, and he worked and worked and worked and worked and worked. And he didn't really see any progress with the people. And I'm sure that he wondered and said, am I crazy? Like, was I hearing things? Or did God really tell me this? Is this really what he wants me to do in my life? But we know that Noah stepped out in faith and said, okay, Lord, I'll build the ark exactly how you told me to make it. I'll preach to the people. I'll try to reach them. And ultimately, we know that Noah got on the ark, and him and his family were the only 8 people that were saved in the entire world at that time. And the only reason that Noah's family was saved was because of his faith. Noah could have said, you know what? This is too much for me. I'm not going to do that. Noah would have died. He would have drowned with everybody else. But Noah stepped out in faith and said, you know what, Lord, I'm going to do this for myself, I'm going to do this for my family, and I'm going to build this ark. And Noah exemplified great faith in doing that. If Noah was walking by his own sight, anyone would look at that and say, the man's crazy. If I was driving down Sheldon here and I saw someone building a huge ark in their yard, I would think they were insane. And I'm sure that if he was walking by his own sight, people would have said, or he would have thought, you know what, I can't do this. This is going to look weird. I'm not going to look right. People are going to think I'm messed up. I'm not going to do that. But luckily, Noah wasn't walking by his own sight. He was walking by faith. And that's what allowed him to be able to step out and to make that choice, to be able to step out and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Even though it might seem crazy, I'm still going to do what you have me to do. And it goes back to the same thing with Abraham. God wants us to step out and walk in faith. He wants us to not walk by our own sight. Because the things that we see isn't what God sees. God sees the big picture. God can see what's going to happen now. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows what's going to happen 1,000 years from now. And us looking at it from our vantage point, we don't know the potential that God can do with us. We don't know all the things that God wants to work in our life. That's why we have to be willing to just step out and say, Lord, wherever you want to lead me, I'm going to follow. In football, an offensive coordinator, usually they're up inside of one of the boxes, okay? Why are they inside the box? Because they have a better vantage point. They sit up there above the entire crowd because they're calling out the plays to the head coach or to the quarterback or whoever, so that way they can get the right play in. He can see what the defense is trying to do. He can tell what scheme they're running, and he can call in the right play. The quarterback, he's down on the field with everyone else. He only sees what's happening from his vantage point right here. He only sees the 11 other guys on the other side of the field. He doesn't know what they're trying to do. He doesn't know if they're setting a spy or something like that. And the offensive coordinator, he can see and he knows that, hey, run this play because they're in this defense. And the same thing, it's the same exact thing with God, okay? God's up top. He's our coordinator. And he's telling us, hey, I want you to run this route. I want you to go this way. I want you to make this decision because I know what's going to happen in the long run. You're going to score a touchdown here, but you just got to trust me. Does the quarterback always trust the offensive coordinator? No, probably not, okay? But he probably knows what's best because he can see everything. And it's the same exact way with us. God knows what's best, except for God's play calls are 100%, okay? He never makes a mistake. He never puts the wrong play in. And whenever he guides us to go a certain direction, whenever he leads us to go a certain way, we have to be willing to say, okay, Lord, I'm letting go of this, and I'm going to follow you. Wherever you lead me is where I'm going to go. So let's look at our last example, okay? Go over to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we will read verse 40. It says, "And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine." And we'll quit reading there, and we'll just kind of prophesize the whole chapter, okay? So David, we know he defeated Goliath, okay? He was called to go out by God and to defeat the giant. There were other people there that could have gone and fought Goliath, but they were all too scared. They didn't have enough faith to step out and to defend their country. They didn't have enough faith to step out and defend their God. But David came onto the scene and said, hey, I'm willing to do this, because God had already put it in his heart to go out and to accomplish that mission. And we see there that he took those stones, and he ultimately goes out and he kills the Philistine giant, Goliath. And David was walking by faith, okay? If I was walking down the street and I saw some dude that's like 7'6", I know Goliath was taller than that, but in today's times, 7'6" and 350 pounds, I'm not going to fight him, okay? Because he's probably going to destroy me. But if I'm walking by faith, I'm not going to go fight someone, but if I'm walking by faith, then I'm going to be more inclined to follow what God has. And David, if he was walking by his own sight, he would walk up and look at the giant and say, wow, I can't do this. I'm not going to be able to defeat him. I'm not going to be able to do this. But luckily, he was walking by his faith, and he was able to step up and say, yeah, he's a big dude, but I know I can take him. And God had prepared him for that day. God had made David for that moment, because he knew that he could take down that giant. And in our lives, God has equipped each and every one of us for moments in our lives, okay? He's given us tasks that he wants us as individuals to complete. There's things in our lives that he wants us to accomplish. And sure, could he use someone else to do it if he wanted to? But he wants to use you and I in specific areas of our lives. So whenever God leads, we need to be ready to follow. Whenever God puts us in a direction, we need to be willing to go. And that's what all three of these men were willing to do. God laid something on their hearts, and they all stepped up by faith and said, okay, Lord, I'm going to step out, and I'm going to go do this. And if you notice, all three times, they were all successful. And why is that? It's because whenever God gives us something to do, he's not setting us up for failure. God didn't send David out there to get killed by Goliath. He knew Goliath was going to win. And God's not sending you out to do things or calling you to do things to set you up for failure. He wants to give you things to accomplish for his glory. He wants you to be able to do things because he knows that we can do them through his might. So maybe there's something in your life that God's leading you to do. Maybe there's a direction that he's pointing you to. Maybe he's laying something on your heart. I don't know what it is. We're all from different backgrounds. We all have different situations. But maybe God's leading you, and maybe you need that little push to step out in faith and say, you know what, Lord, I'm not going to live my life by my sight anymore. I'm going to live my life by following you. So, Gabe, can you come up here? You're going to be the guinea pig. So we talked about Abraham, we talked about Noah, and we talked about David, and we saw different situations of how they used their faith, okay? So now we're going to talk about three different things in our life that we need to do to walk by faith, okay? So we'll use this for an example, okay? Imagine that me and Gabe were out at Ford Road, okay? It's rush hour traffic. There's people flying down through there. And I tell Gabe, okay, we're not going to use a crosswalk. We're just going to walk right across right here, middle of the road, and I want you to close your eyes, and that's what we're going to do, okay? So go ahead and close your eyes. What is the first thing that Gabe is going to have to do? The first thing that he's going to have to do is he's going to have to put his faith in me. He's going to have to say, you know what, Adam? I'm putting my faith in you that you can take me across that road. I'm putting my faith in you that you're not going to let me get hit by this car, or you're not going to get hit by a semi-truck, and that you're going to make me get me over there safely. I don't know if you have that much faith in me, but that's what Gabe's going to have to do first, okay? Before he can do anything else, he's going to have to trust me and say, okay, I'm putting faith in you that you can do this for me, okay? The second thing that Gabe's going to have to do after that is he's going to have to forget the fear, okay? He's going to be scared, I'm sure. He's going to be thinking, man, Is Adam really capable of this? Can he really walk me across Ford Road right now and me not get killed by a car? And I'm sure that he's going to be scared. He's going to be worried. You can open your eyes for now.
Okay.
But he's going to be scared. He's going to be worried, okay? And he's going to have to forget the fear. So first of all, he's going to have to find his faith. He's going to have to find faith and put it in me that I can take him across the road. Secondly, he's going to have to forget the fear that's overcoming him in that moment and say, okay, I guess that we can do this thing. And then lastly, the thing that he's going to have to do is he's going to have to fully follow me, okay? So let's step back here. Okay, so close your eyes. So let's say that Gabe, he gets committed. He says, okay, I'm putting my faith in you. After that, I'm going, what was the second one? Sorry. I'm going to forget the fear, okay? I'm going to forget the fear. And lastly, I'm going to fully follow, okay? But let's say it's time to start walking, and Gabe's not fully following me, okay? And we're walking across the road, and he's kind of lagging along. What's going to happen? Probably going to get smashed by a car, okay? He's probably going to get killed. And we have to make sure that we're doing all three steps. We can't just do one of them and expect a good outcome. We can't just do two of them. We have to do all of them, okay? You can go sit down, Gabe. Thank you. We have to make sure that we're finding our faith in God. Whenever God gives us a situation to complete in our lives, whenever God puts something on our hearts, we have to make sure that we're finding our faith in him and saying, okay, Lord, no matter what you show in my life, I'm going to find faith in you. I'm going to trust you that you can accomplish whatever it is in my life. After that, we're going to have to forget the fear. Sometimes God's going to put something on your heart that's going to scare you, okay? He's going to put things in your life that you're going to think, I can't accomplish this. I'm never going to be able to do this. And I've told this example before here, okay? Whenever I was 13 one time, I got to preach at this youth rally. Like 300 teenagers there. I was shaking. I was sweating. Like, I wore a white shirt. I sweated completely through it. People were laughing at me when I went to sit down with my friends. And I remember I was so scared. And after that point, I said, I'm not doing that. If every time I get up to preach, I'm a sweaty mess that's, like, shaking, I'm not going to do that. Why would I want to do that? But God works in different ways, and he can prepare us for whatever it is that he has for us. And lastly, we have to be able to fully follow, okay? Fully following isn't us kind of lagging behind him and saying, I'm not so sure. Fully following is us taking off with him and saying, okay, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do in this situation, but I'm going to follow you. I'm going to jump off the edge, and we're going. No matter how it goes down, we're going to go. And that's what God wants from each and every one of us, okay? Nobody's too young, nobody's too old to be able to follow what God's will is for their life. And God has prepared something for each and every one of us. And sometimes it's easy to sit back on the sidelines and say, yeah, God can use other people, but he can't use me. God can pick someone else to teach that class, but not me. God can teach someone else, or God can use someone else to reach that family, but not me. And there's so many different things that God can equip us for. There's so many different things that God wants to use you for and myself for. And we have to be willing to step out in faith and say, okay, God, no matter what you have for me, I'm going to do it. So my challenge to you today is to walk by faith, okay? It's easy in our everyday lives to get caught up in walking by our own sight. It's easy to get caught up in looking around us and just saying, okay, I can see everything around me. I'm comfortable where I'm at. I like what I'm doing, and that's where I'm going to stay. But sometimes God doesn't want us to be too comfortable, okay? Sometimes God wants us to get out of our comfort zone and follow him. So make sure that you're not walking in your life by your own sight, because our sight can be dimmed. Our sight can be messed up. Our sight can be just off kilter. And God's sight is perfect, like we said earlier. God knows everything that's going to happen. He knows how everything is going to work out. And we have to be willing to follow him into whatever situation it is. So as you go throughout this week, make sure in every situation, hey, am I walking by faith or am I walking by my own sight? Is this how God would want me to walk today, or am I maybe just making my own decisions? And it's going to be something, we talked about this morning a little bit in Sunday school, about getting up every single day and intentionally following Christ. Intentionally, we talked about Romans 12, 1 and 2, intentionally getting up every morning and saying, I'm going to change my mind to follow Christ. I'm going to wake up every single morning and crucify my flesh so that way I can follow him wherever he wants me to go with whatever he wants me to do. And that's something that takes a lot of work, okay? Nobody gets up every single morning in a fantastic mood and just wants to go out and serve God, okay? It takes work to peel yourself out of bed sometimes and to be able to go and say, okay, I'm going to live my life exactly how God wants me to live it today. I'm going to be at my best for God's glory. And it's a decision that all of us have to get up every single day and make. We can't just decide right now that, okay, I'm going to walk by faith and then just put it on the back burner and forget about it because sometime next week we won't be walking by faith. We have to intentionally live that way. We have to intentionally say, I'm going to live my life by faith and not by my own sight. So I hope that you take these words today. I hope that you think on these things, and I hope that you can apply them into your lives as well as myself. So for anyone that was taking notes, finding faith, forget the fear, and fully follow. And let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to have been able to have met, Lord, just to be able to worship you, Father. I ask that you'd help each and every one of us to take these things and just think about them, Lord, because you want us to walk by faith and not by our own sight. You want us to be able to follow you in any situation, Lord. And I know that you have something special for each and every one of us, and you have a plan for each and every one of our lives. Help us to know, Lord, that you only want the best for us and that you want to lead us in the right direction, and help us just to fully follow you in every situation. In your name I pray, amen. And you're dismissed.